Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And that is launched out to deep left field. Big fly for Mike Trout. This is ground ball to second base. Red Heifel falls down, picks it up, fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners. It's gone! Big fly for Anthony Rendon.
Hey guys, I'm Alex Curry.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
This is Brendan Marsh.
This is Chris Rodriguez.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast back in Halo Haven with, of course,
the curator here.
And I am Dan Garcia. We'll get into the unfortunate Monday through Wednesday series up in Oakland. We didn't put out a podcast last week. Shit's kind of crazy at my house right now. Couldn't get a we're painting, and so I was kind of displaced for a little bit. So sorry about that.
The nerve.
Don't they know we got something going on every Sunday? So sorry about that. But you know, the Angels did come off of that back-to-back sweep. Obviously, most recently of Arizona. After that game, how did that make you feel after the Arizona game?
I mean, how the season's been going to this point, and then to come out with the back-to-back sweeps,
six-game streak,
to come back in some of those games, you're feeling pretty good, and you're feeling like, okay, we could right the ship, that this season is salvageable, and at the halfway point or nearing the halfway point to be at 500. I was fine with that. I was feeling good. I was feeling like hope was alive.
You're like, bring on the A's. We're ready.
Yeah,
come on.
Okay, we're going to show these guys this time around. And
Not so much. No. So obviously, like we mentioned, Angels had a great series out in Arizona. Kind of, no, sketchy, but like some of those games are a lot closer than needing to be. And you kind of felt like if Arizona was a team, I wouldn't say good team, but if they were just a reasonable team, it could have been a lot different. But Angels took advantage of the, you know, lesser competition. So coming into Monday, obviously a big step up in competition with Oakland A's still in the lead for the AL West. And you're kind of now using that as a measuring stick for the Angels. Again, like we said, coming in on a six-game winning streak. But Dylan Bundy on the mound on Monday continues to struggle. So you're hoping, again, in this one, I guess for every start from now on, you're kind of hoping – this is the one where he kind of gets back on track.
Yeah, I think his previous start, he was actually showing a little bit more of the Bundy we came to know for 60-game season last year. You had the Lord Bundy and all the stuff.
All the memes, all the stuff. Yep.
And then, he just can't put it together. And he said he's feeling good. He said his arm's feeling, you know, he's feeling healthy and he's throwing all right. But I don't know. It's just not
sticky.
Yeah.
The sticky. Yeah, exactly. Allegedly. Quote unquote, allegedly. Yeah. So he would get up early, Bundy would, by a Juan Lagares home run in the second. So you're already thinking to yourself, okay, pitching with a lead, a little more relaxed, a little more, you know, less stressed than, like, say, like a 0-0 game going into the fourth or fifth inning. But in the bottom of the second, A's would get to Bundy with a 2-run home run, which you look at last year, you look at this year. You know, you can kind of look at all the other side stats all you want and the defense behind them all you want and stuff like that. But a stat that really stands out that is pretty much not responsible for anyone but Bundy is his home runs. He's been giving up a ton more home runs.
Yeah, he's like fifth most in the AL right now.
Right. It's like, I think there was a stat that came out where last year for the whole 60-game season, like 7 home runs. I think he's already at like 9.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, what happened kind of deal. So he's leaving his fastball, and obviously, you know, a lot of his pitches over the plate way too much, but like I said, gives up that 2-run home run. So now obviously it's 2-1 Oakland, but it can continued in the third. And that's kind of where the wheels fell off for Dylan Bundy. After a hits batsman, Bundy would end up having a 5-run third to make it 7-1 Oakland. And that was it for Bundy. 2 1/3, 5 hits, 7 earned runs, 2 walks, 3K. So again, we're back here. Feels like every time, every week. Is Bundy good still?
Yeah, you put that out on the poll too. He put it on the poll.
Put it on the poll.
Yeah, Daniel put it on Instagram as a question. And I think the results, the final results were like 92%.
Yeah, 91 to like, no, it was 90 to 10. 90 to 10. The question was, is he the worst pitcher in the rotation right now? Not because Quintana's out. You know, you would think it would be that guy, but he doesn't count. He's not in the rotation. But as of right now, as this sits, we have Ohtani, Canning, Bundy,
Sandoval,
Cobb, who else am I missing there? I feel like I'm missing someone else. Haney. Yeah. So that's the six. Is he the worst out of all of them right now?
100%. Hey, but hey, there are some people that had some faith in him. There's 8%. You know who you are.
Yeah, you know you are. I don't know what you're thinking, but you are. So
do you think Bundy jumped in that poll?
Yeah, right. Slide into the DM. He has a burner account. How much longer do you give? This is a question we have on YouTube right now. How much longer do you keep Bundy in the rotation? He's been killing us.
I don't know. It's going to get to the point. If he goes out again and has a similar outing, there's got to be a point where we got to sit him, and maybe that'll be the motivation for him to move forward, because he's just, he goes out there and maybe put together two good innings and then just wheels fall off, big run inning. And it's just hard to recover from an inning like that. And then I think the Angels end up coming back a little bit. Yeah. But it's just too late.
Yeah, his ERA, Bundy's ERA is now up to 6.98. I mean, and to kind of give you guys a little foreshadowing in this episode, we're going to play clips of interviews I did both with Reed Detmers and Rhett Bollinger from MLB.com. One of the questions I asked Rhett was that exact same thing. Because of Jose Suarez's kind of, you know, you've seen him in 2-3 inning kind of spurts, and he's looked really, really good. Does he get like a Sandoval thing where it's like, hey, we'll put you out there in a spot start. Oh, wow, you're doing great. We'll just keep you going. And that's something I asked them. And so I don't know if it's going to be on the podcast clip, but if you want to see his answer, if you want to see the full interview for both of those interviews, both the Reed Detmers and the Rhett Bollinger one, go to our YouTube page, All Angels Podcast YouTube page, the full interviews there. We will play clips here on this podcast, but to see the full interview, the Reed Detmers ones, it's like 22 minutes. The Rhett one is about 45 minutes. So obviously we couldn't play the whole thing here, but when you have time, if you can, go to our YouTube page. The full interviews are there. They're up. They're posted now. So that's a really great question. This Friday, we're probably going to have Ty Butcher on the podcast. Okay, cool. This Friday, we're probably going to... Okay, there we go. Ty, nothing against Ty Butchery, but we've had him on the podcast too. A great guy. Got to meet him out in Tempe, Diablo.
Yeah.
Wish him all the best. Talk to Sam all the time. Sam's his wife is great. We talk back and forth. Same thing with Ty. We talk to him all the time too. It's really, really cool. So back to the game on Monday. It would be 8-1 in the top of the seventh. And after a Jared Walsh double, another single by Juan Lagares, all RBIs. David Fletcher, another RBI single. This, you know, Fletcher is now really starting to kind of catch on fire a little bit from his earlier season slump. Well,
then you see his numbers against Oakland. I think it's like...
It's crazy.
It's like 45 games.
If he ever hits the free agent market, Oakland should just sign him just because of all that stuff. Just so he doesn't beat him like that.
It's like, you know, lifetime batting average against Oakland, like 345, somewhere around there. So, yeah, he's starting to catch fire, so that's good. I always think something about, like, you know, you say, historically, they perform against a certain team. And it's like a lot of the guys that say the guys come and go from clubs.
Yeah.
So what is it? You know, is it the atmosphere? Is it?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
I don't know.
And it's something, too, that you think about. And historically, we're talking about Fletcher and how good he does up in Oakland. We can also, same thing, kind of flip it around and talk about how bad Trout does in Houston. But in one of those games where people are mic'd up, it caught on the mic where he just can't pick up the ball
The ball off the bat.
Off the pitcher's hand because of the batter, something with the batter's eye. It's just something that's just different there that other parts he can't pick it up. So maybe it's the flip for Fletcher. Maybe there's something about that batter's eye that he can really just...
No, but they're even talking about even playing at home against Oakland. So it's like, how do you explain that? You know,
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe he had a best friend that was from the area and he now doesn't
or
like
him. I think even the greater stat is when you look at the Angels, you know, against, say, like the Yankees. And the few teams as a world are winning record against the Yankees.
See,
it's like people have come and go.
I'm kind of thinking too, because it is the Yankees and against teams with like kind of a historical history. Like when you're a kid, that's what you hear. The Yankees, the 20 whatever rings at the time, you hear it. So if you're hearing all that nostalgia and all that like hype when you're a kid, well, then maybe you do get up a little bit more because now you're on the Angels or now you're on the, you know, White Sox or now you're on the Rays. And maybe you remember hearing all that stuff when you're a kid. It's like, yeah, I'm playing the Yankees, and you get up maybe a little bit more for something like for teams like that. Oakland, I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe he had a best friend that lived up in Oakland and now they don't get along at all. And so he's trying to take it out on them. I don't know.
Something like a separate podcast.
Yeah. But definitely. So after that, the Angels close it out this 5-8. And you're kind of thinking, okay, this is going to get interesting. Again, this is the seventh inning. But that's as close as they can get. This final score is 8-5. Some things on this game that are kind of worth noting, you kind of mentioned a little bit with Fletcher and his hot streak. Fletcher and Iglesias both get 4 hits in this game. So, again, guys that you don't expect to put the ball out of the ballpark, able to get on base. Normally 5 runs will win you a game, but because of that inning against Bundy where it absolutely just blew up, you didn't even really have a shot. That and then Anthony Rendon left early in the game because of something wrong with his tricep. A tricep strain or something like along those lines. So that's something else to kind of look at when we obviously start the series with Detroit coming back home, reopening day. So, so it will be interesting to see how that goes. But like I mentioned, Angels dropped the opening game 5-8.
Yeah. And getting back to Bundy, I mean, you know, first few months of the season, you're like, oh, it's just a small sample size. This is a decent sample size.
Now it's a no. Like, you're absolutely right.
We're pretty much at the point of we're over a third, you know, through the season, which we're looking at. Yeah, it's the same sample size we had last year, in which we hailed them as Lord Bundy,
and he got all the hype.
You know,
well, the funny part is I talk about this with Rhett,
all that stuff.
I talk about this with Rhett on the interview. You know, at this time last year, after the season, everyone was saying, extend him. Now it's looking really good that they didn't because, you know, him, Bundy, Heaney, Cobb, Quintana, all 4 of those guys are going to be free agents at the end of this year. And I even asked you in the interview with Rhett, out of those guys, who do you think the Angels will they re-sign? And again, he talks about that. And again, to get that full interview, go over to our YouTube page, All Angels Podcast. And again, the full
spoiler.
No, you're not gonna come on. I mean, the clip.
Dude, I haven't even heard it.
Well, that's your fault. The clip that we're gonna play later has some good stuff in it too. So definitely stick around for that. So let's move over to Tuesday now. You know, it sucks to lose a game like that against Oakland, but some of the good things I guess you can come out of it was that the offense was kind of clicking. The offense, like I mentioned, you got 4 hits from Fletcher. You got 4 hits from Iglesias. You just kind of had to minimize that huge inning. So going into Tuesday, Andrew Heaney looked to take the mound. You know, he's had, again, another one of these pitchers that's had a really good starts and then really kind of average to below average starts. So you're always kind of wondering what is going to happen. What kind of start will this pitcher be? So the Angels are up early again. I mean, that's kind of been the theme this whole series is that the Angels were up first in the whole series and yet could not hold the lead. And something that you think in baseball, score first and your chances of winning go way up. I mean, that's kind of something that they've always told you, like, in Little League and college and high school.
Then if you're, like, watching, like, a play-by-play thing on the internet, it says the probability of
winning.
I'm pretty sure when they're up, it's showing, like, it's, like, 98%. So,
yeah. Exactly. So,
most teams.
The Angels would get up first with an Upton. When Upton drives in a run in the third inning, now it's 1-0. Upton's been surprisingly hot at that leadoff spot.
Yeah, and I think you know, we're always critical of the manager, everything that goes
that
wrong.
That worked.
He changed it with Upton.
Again, I don't want to ruin the interview, but I asked Rhett, is it because he's at the leadoff spot, or is it because we're so far in the season now, Upton's had a chance to kind of get, because Upton's always been a slow starter. Would this have happened in the third spot just because he needed at bats? You know what I mean? Like, a lot of players say I need X amount at bats to feel like in midseason form. Did that just happen to be when he was in the leadoff spot, or was that just because it is a leadoff spot. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know which one. I guess there is no wrong answer, but it's just, I don't know, something I thought of.
I think he just has to have a different approach being the leadoff hitter and just a whole different mindset. No, I think it's that because we've seen a full season of Upton a few times. What kind of full?
Full. Foolish. But,
full. Yeah.
Foolish.
Yeah. So, and I don't think he's had, I don't know. I feel like it's a different look for him and some motivation and
no,
I like it.
As I mentioned before, too, like when the whole Albert thing, probably on this podcast, when the Albert thing happens, like, oh, you know what's going through now? Upton's mind. Oh, crap. They're cutting guys. I got to pick up my
guy. Yeah,
I'm now the next oldest guy now that Albert's gone.
So you have to think about it. I think that's part of it.
Too. Yeah, it's like, oh damn. I'm on my last year of my contract.
These guys aren't messing around here.
I'm on my last year of the contract next year. I better start picking it up. But honestly, too, you see him running. You see him running like either in the outfield or on the bases. He looks a lot healthier this year than he has in years past.
That turf toe was, I mean, anyone who's had that turf toe, I know we make fun of it. Like,
yeah, because of the name,
But it's hard.
Yeah.
You can't run and get in the corner and then just stop real quick.
On a dime, exactly.
He's doing that.
Right, and then even, too, running the bases, making the turn from first to third or, you know, second to home. Like, before, it was kind of like Albert, like, oh, don't send him. Now it's like he does feel like he's moving a lot easier, a lot better. So you kind of do have a little bit more confidence in him, like, you know, like I said, going first to third or going from second to home. And it shows, too, I think, in his at-bats. You know, obviously, the lower half is so important. Obviously, when you can have a solid foundation in the lower half, that means the world to someone like Upton. So, like I mentioned, Upton puts him on the board, but that lead wouldn't last long as the A's get two runs in the bottom of the third. They seem to do a really good job at that. Whenever the Angels score, that very next half inning, or maybe the next inning after that, they came and responded to it like right away.
Yeah, I remember like growing up playing baseball or in like high school, the coach, you know, it sounds very obvious, but like you got to win every inning.
Yeah.
So if they put up a run, you put up two, you put up one, let's cancel it out.
Right.
And that's how you win because they got the team with the highest score at the end of the game that scores the most runs wins.
I thought it was the highest. That's my
prediction.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, but you're right. The A's always came back up.
Yeah, and you hear Gooby talk about it all the time on the broadcast where it's like the Angels get two runs. All right, this inning or this the very next half inning, you got to put up a zero because all the momentum you build will be gone just like that. Even if it's like a 2-0 lead and you give up one, well, now the team thinks it's still in it. So now you don't have any of that momentum that you accomplish by getting up 2-0 or 3-0 or whatever.
You gotta grit your teeth, bear down, and just put up those zeros. And I think it's the comfortability out there, you know?
Exactly.
Easy cruising. No.
So the Angels would end up tying it in the fifth when Fletcher singles in Kurt Suzuki. Again, Fletcher in Oakland, like you mentioned, I guess just Oakland in general. As absolutely killing it. A place that you've been.
I think it was like 6,000 in attendance today.
Well, to be fair, I did ask someone about it. Oakland isn't at full capacity like down here. They don't hit full capacity until two more weeks. So, not saying that it's going to reach the magnitude of Angel Stadium tomorrow or Dodger Stadium yesterday, but at least I will grant them at least some kind of leeway because they're not at
full. They need to bring in more tarps and then tarp up more seats.
What if, like, you show up to Oakland one time, like, every other section is tarp?
And then their full capacity is 12,000, and they have six. So, yeah.
They should just make full capacity. They should do that, make full capacity, like, 12,000, sell out every single. Yeah. Don't say the number of fans there. Just say sell out.
Yep.
It'll look great for clickbait, for sure. So, Haney would end up starting the sixth inning and give up a single to the first batter, Matt Olson, and he would be done after that. So, he does get into the sixth, wasn't able to work. Or gave a chance to kind of like, you know, we'll give you out there. As long as you don't get any trouble, we'll keep you out there. But that was it. Olson would end up coming around later. So that does go on Andrew Heaney's line. And his final line was 5 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. So $6 for the Tyler Skaggs Foundation at the end of the year. But his pitch count was at 98. So it wasn't like he got taken out early. 98 over 5 innings is kind of really compressed, I think. Usually like 98. I'm hoping that's like through six, maybe in the seventh, you know, but like after five, I can kind of understand that. So you're just hoping that, you know,
which kind of leads us into today.
Yeah. We'll get that one later for sure. But the A's would end up scoring three in that inning to make the score 5-2. So again, bullpen comes in, you know, obviously not the best situation with Olsen on first, but yet they still end up letting Olsen score and then two more to make it 5-2. And now the Angels are playing from behind again. You know, they get up early, but then it always seems to find them in the middle innings that now they're behind and now they have to start playing catch up. And for the most part, Oakland's bullpen isn't bad. I don't think it's like the shutdown bullpen that some teams have, but it's not, it's better than ours. It's not terrible. You know what I mean? I think that definitely hurts the Angels in that situation. So it would stay that way all the way to the eighth inning when Ohtani absolutely destroyed another home run. And it's kind of crazy to think about everything he's doing right now, carrying this team again. Because this game, like we mentioned in the previous one, Rendon wasn't in it with the whole tricep thingamajig. So, you know, Ohtani's kind of that guy now that you're depending on to really carry the team, and that makes the score 5-3. But like we mentioned, you can't seem to hold the A's down. Every time the Angels score, Oakland comes back and does something to score themselves, and the A's would add another run in the bottom of the eighth when Slager gives up another home run. If I never see Slager's or Cishek in an Angels uniform again, I'll be fine with that. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, they just brought Slager's back up.
Oh, dude, they brought him up at the beginning of this series. And like, welcome to...
And we are going to send you down.
Yeah, have fun. Thank you for
that. That was fun.
So, yeah. So, again, Angels try to kind of creep back into it, unable to. Slager gets up another home run. Like I mentioned, Cishek, Slager's, like those guys... I'm sure they're great guys. I'm not going to say anything about them personally, but if I never see them in an Angel uniform again, I'll be good with that.
Yeah, and the cool thing like about Ohtani is I think the first few years with Ohtani was, I don't want to say it was novelty, but if he went out there and he did anything, you're like, wow, just the, you know, the two-way. Mm-hmm. But now he's matured and he's like he has to be the leader. Rendon's out, Trout's out. It's like you're the man now. So
he's definitely the face. I don't know if he's like the leader of the, like, I don't know if he's the one.
He's a rah rah, but he's like, okay, he's we're looking at you right now. This is a pressure situation.
We want you up. You know, two outs. We want Ohtani up now.
Like, oh, Ohtani hit a home run. That's cool. And yeah, he threw 100 mph.
That's even better.
Oh, that's cool. We've seen that.
Right
now, it's like, okay, now you need to help us win.
Right.
So,
well, not even that. Cool. Like, also on the, like you mentioned, on the pitching mound, like, hey, we might need you to throw 6 innings, strikeout six, and then, oh yeah, by the way, get on base twice or something, you know, something like that. And it's just kind of crazy to see that maturation of Ohtani from his rookie of the year season to, oh no, he's damaged goods, he's hurt, he has Tommy John, da da da, to now where it's like he's finally healthy and finally able to put it together and stuff like that. So
being a player, he just crushes a lot.
Crushes the ball a lot for sure. Another guy that's been struggling but has had great home run numbers is Jared Walsh. He would also add a home run late in this game to make the score 6-3, but that would end up being the final score. And again, one bad inning by the bullpen kind of blows it all up. The previous one was obviously by Bundy. This one by the bullpen. The Angels once again below 500. How'd that feel being above 500 for that small sample?
Above or below?
Above. I mean, we were only above for like 2 days, I think it was.
I felt like it was, you know, like opening day. We have a winning record.
We won the first game, so we're 1-0.
This deep in the year. Wow. Like, things are starting to come together.
That's it. We're turning the corner. We're good.
And I don't know about you, but my mood goes the way Angels baseball goes.
Does it?
So basically, since 2014,
You've been in a crappy mood. Don't talk to me. It's been a bad day.
Like, I'm like running high. Like, usually, okay, so when they're down and you're like, oh, okay, this game's over, right? Yeah. You're like, this game's over. I get out of the car, I go in a Starbucks out in like Torrance. Oh, I think it was on the Saturday game. And I come back out
and, it's like,
and they're up like by 2 or 3. And I'm like, what?
That must have been a long ass Starbucks. That's been a long ass Starbucks line.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. So you saw that little spark. I mean, it was the Diamondbacks, but
yeah. Yeah. And that, again,
just the comeback,
but again,
ability, though, too, and then to come out the next day and just put up some runs.
But that's the thing, though, too. Like I was kind of saying, some of this stuff might have flew against the Diamondbacks. Some of this stuff might have flown against Kansas City. But against a really good team like the A's, you can't give them those four-run innings, five-run innings, like, and expect to come back. Like, maybe against a team like Arizona where their bullpen is like yours and can, you know, give up a five spot real quick. Oakland isn't like that. good teams aren't like that. You know, Houston, Chicago, like these good teams that are on the top of their divisions aren't going to do that. And I think that was kind of a rude awakening for Angel players and Angel fans, is that, you know, you can't afford to give up 5-run innings and compete, you know, realistically. Like, yeah, every once in a while you'll get a shot in the dark, but you know, that's what it is. So obviously Wednesday, we go now to today. We're recording this Wednesday night. Angels trying to avoid a sweep. You go back-to-back sweeps and then get swept yourself. I mean, I don't know if that's how often that happens, but they're looking to not let it happen. Didn't happen, but they were looking for it not to happen at the beginning of this game. And with Griffin Canning on the mound, again, one of these guys like Heaney, like Cobb, like Sandoval, you just don't know which one you're going to get until the game's like halfway over or something like that. So the Angels again up early in the first inning when Matt Stassi hits in Justin Upton for a 1-0 lead. But they would add more, two more, when both Taylor Ward and Phil Gosselin both get RBI singles and make it 3-0 after one. So in my head, I'm like, okay, cool. It's not one run, it's three runs after first inning. You kind of feel like to yourself, maybe we won't get swept. Maybe we'll take, you know, get at least one out in Oakland, which, you know, in a three-game series, one out of three against a top-rated team, you can still kind of save it. You can still say we went, what is it, four for two in the road trip, which is still good.
Yeah, I mean, and then this is all in division. And,
yeah.
And I don't know if you saw the numbers. The Angels within the AL West, it's I guess the word would be atrocious.
Bad.
It's so bad, and it just hurts so much more when it's in division play and you have that opportunity to put up the runs or to move up in the standings. Yeah. There it is.
And you have and that was a perfect opportunity for Oakland to do it for the Angels to do it against the A's. Again, the thing about the Angels streak, they went like 7-3 over 10 before Oakland. Well, guess what? So did Oakland. So you gained no ground on the division. So now you're in Oakland. You're hoping to take advantage of it. And obviously they were not able to. Ohtani in the fourth, though, for back-to-back games, hits a bomb. And this one went second deck in Oakland, which they are saying that doesn't happen very often in Oakland. You know, obviously Oakland kind of reminds me of Anaheim a little bit, where if it's during the day, the ball travels well. Yeah. If it's at night, and now you start getting that mist, that marine layer.
They have the marine layer up there, right?
So, yeah, exactly. So if it's the afternoon game, night game, you're not going to get it as much. But this ball was absolutely destroyed. Makes it 4-0 after two. Ohtani's 19th home run of the year. And then you were kind of talking about before, Pod, in our preview, you know, obviously opening day, I believe I had the under over at like 25 home runs for Ohtani.
Yeah.
I have to go back and listen.
I think you were under.
I don't think I went under. I think I went over.
I know that.
I don't know.
I think it was lower. I think you had like 22 or something.
No, well, maybe. Yeah. I have to go back and listen. Or,
I mean, hey, in all honesty, though, go back to the beginning of the season. 22 home runs from Ohtani, who was coming off a, you know, injury.
After a kind of like, you know, season.
Anything. You're just not really high on him too much. Right. Yeah, I meant 22 home runs I've been happy with.
Exactly. So,
yeah, but
he's 19. Going,
he's going to have 22 before the All-Star.
He's already at 19. I think he's like in third place. And over in the majors overall behind, I believe it's obviously Vlad Jr. He's just on a tear right now. Yeah. Acuna Jr. And then there it is, Ohtani. I mean, and none of those guys throw 100. So when it comes to the AL MVP, I've heard it both ways, that people will say Ohtani because of the pitching part of it. What do you feel like? Do you feel like Ohtani's like the head guy right now in the AL MVP kind of stand in the race?
Know. He also doesn't, you know, play a position too. So,
well, he pitches. So, that's a position.
Yeah, but once every, you know, maybe 6 days, maybe.
Still.
Yeah. I mean, the cool factor and going both ways, of course, that has the most impact. If he adds some more wins to his total, then 100%.
Well, I don't.
But Vlad Jr. today or yesterday said something to the fact that he's the MVP in the
AL. Well, like, I think wins are kind of overrated. Like, you saw Felix Hernandez win it. What, like 4 or 5 years ago for Seattle? And I think he won like 11 games, but because of the run support was so bad.
Yeah.
And you can kind of say the same thing
with
DeGrom too. Like, he doesn't get a lot of wins because the Mets don't help him.
Yeah.
But
he lost two games and it's like his ERA is point.
Yeah, exactly. He's lost like three games or four games where the score was like 2-0 or like 1-0 or something like that. And the other one was from the bullpen. Wasn't even him kind of deal. So I don't know. Wins aren't important. I still think Ohtani is killing it both ways.
Plus, Vlad Jr. played in that small ballpark down in wherever it was.
Florida.
Yeah, I don't even know the city.
Deanington or Dianton?
Yeah, that thing was a bandbox. It was a spring training facility. And then now even in Buffalo it's still not the same. So, yeah.
After how many years did we get to rename the Blue Jays the Buffalo Jays?
Hey, yeah, Buffalo Blue Jays has a nice little ring to it.
BBJ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. There you go. So, again, Ohtani absolutely crushes the ball. 19th of the year. Again, like we said before, absolutely killing it. Carrying this team on his back because, again, no Rendon in this game. So we'll have to kind of wait and see in that. And the top of the fourth, and this guy loves playing against the Angels. You mentioned how Fletcher loves playing against the A's. This guy must love playing against the Angels. Roman Liriano ends up robbing a home run from Upton. Guess what? The very next half inning, he bats second. What does he do? Puts the ball out of the ballpark. And if you remember the series in Anaheim a little while ago, Angels down, ninth inning. I don't think it was Upton. Maybe it was Ohtani. Same thing, robs a home run to like end the game where this home run would have like tied it. Like he loves playing the Angels, but he puts the A's on the board 4-1, and in the bottom of the fifth, the A's would continue to inch back with another run on a fielder's choice to make it 4-2 after five. So you're thinking to yourself, 4-2 after five, not terrible. You have you've been able to avoid that huge blow up inning, and now you're into the sixth inning, but that would be it for Canning. After the fifth inning, wasn't able to even come out for the sixth to even try to work his way back. So Canning would be done going five innings, three hits, two earned runs, two walks, two strikeouts, but only 69 pitches. So obviously had plenty of left in the tank. The reasoning, I guess they said, third time through the lineup, two lefties up first.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it from a sabermetric perspective, I don't really like. It just tells you the third time through they rake them. They're all over it, and so that's what they went with and put in Tony Watson.
Yeah,
who has been a pretty consistent guy for the Angels, especially in relief.
Only thing is that I would have loved to see Canning at least come out for the six.
Yeah.
Kind of give that opportunity you gave to Heaney. Give him that guy. If he gets on, okay, cool. Pull him. Obviously, the matchups aren't working. But what happens if he gets one out? Okay, cool. What if he gets the second out? Now you're righty versus righty. What if he gets that guy? You know, there's so many things that could have happened to prevent what happened to happen. And so I would just love to see, again, 69 pitches. Your starting rotation as of recently has been, I mean, outside of like Bundy and then like the one Cobb start. But besides that, your starting rotation has been really, really good.
And if you want,
and the bullpen has,
and if you also want Canning to develop into the pitcher you want him to do, be like a number two pitcher.
Right.
This guy needs to start working and building up. I know he's coming off injury to get to that 100 pitch mark. Like we can't baby glove it
all the time, yeah.
Or years upon years. Right. Like 65 pitches is like where you let a little league starter go out and to save their arm when they're young.
Yeah.
Like you gotta progress. And guess what? Angels lose anyways. Right. So what does it even matter?
So, you know, at this point, I would love, I've seen or I don't, you know, just heard like Madden go up to Canning in the dugout after the fifth saying, hey, we're gonna give you an opportunity to play the sixth. We're gonna give you that opportunity to work. Because again, he's only given up two runs. He hasn't been really hit very hard. You know, he did put himself in some situation, but was able to work out of it. There wasn't like that huge four run inning where like, okay, now we got to take you out. You know what I mean? I would have loved Madden to go up to him and be like, hey, you work through this now. We're going to give you the ball in the six. You want to be a player? Go out there and prove it.
Yeah, and I think I didn't have a chance to talk about this, but I think the grittiest performance we've seen on the mound this season was Alex Cobb.
After giving up that grand slam.
Gave up a grand slam. Most pitchers are done, whether they pull him or
they're just
mentally done. And I'm like, eh, you know, this game's
end up going seven innings.
And for him to come out and go seven innings, he gave up a ton of runs. But guess what? That's 1985 baseball.
Boom.
Where people give up, I don't know, Jack Morris will go out there and give up a ton of runs, but he pitched, you know, nine innings.
Everyone that's watching on YouTube does not have any idea who that is.
He's got a mustache like me. yeah, but he would get the win. and get the win. And that's all that matters. And so I thought that was probably the best performance I've seen all season, even though it wasn't the most polished.
No, but it was gritty.
Like I struck out 15, but that's how you got to do. You got to go
out
there.
But the thing is, though, he held the team down and let the Angels come back and win that game. But he held them down. Again, I would have loved to see Canny come out there. And if he gives up that first base hit, cool. Now I feel like, okay, now it's vindicated to make that move. But at least give the kid an opportunity to continue the game. It wasn't like he was Haney, where he was at 90-something pitches going into that inning. Then I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I get that.
A lot of compressed – a lot of high-pitched innings, a lot of stressful innings, pitches. I understand that. But dude's not even at 70 yet. Give him an opportunity. And that's – to me, I think that's Madden, again, overthinking shit, thinking he's the, like, smartest man in the room kind of deal. So, obviously, Tony Watson came in for the sixth inning, but it absolutely blew up on him. Like you mentioned, been a reliable guy for the year. But, again, in my eyes, you know, I don't know. This bullpen has been so – everybody from Iglesias to Myers to Watson to, like, Cishek. Everyone has had more than a handful of blowups in the season. And when you're starting rotation – is the best part of, like, your pitching, you know, side of the team, you got to give him an opportunity. So he ends up giving up 5 straight hits plus an intentional walk. And now the next thing you know, you blink and it's 5-4.
Yeah. I was looking at my phone at work and I saw that 4-0 lead.
You're like, yeah.
We're going to salvage this, series. And yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. So Steve Cishek and Jose Suarez end up coming in to kind of clean up his mess in that inning. But all the runs that Tony Watson would leave with on base would end up coming around to score. So you look at Cishek and like Suarez's line in the box scores. No runs, maybe like a couple of hits, but like it looks clean. And then you look at Tony Watson's line. He goes 0 innings, 5 hits, 6 runs, and 1 walk. So, obviously, not great for your ERA.
You're okay with Tony Watson. You just want Schlager's gone. Do you never see him again?
And Cishek. Well, I don't want this team to start all over again. At least not now in the middle of this. If this wasn't...
We already did this last year.
Yeah, but I say...
We carried one bullpen guy over from last year. What do you want to do here?
We might... You know, it'd be funny, too, because, honestly...
We'll get Joe Smith. He's still around.
Honestly, if this way it's going, you're probably not going to have anyone carry it over because C-Rod is probably going to be in the rotation next year. So, you're not going to have anyone in the bullpen next year. So, we'll see how that goes. And... Jeff Fletcher of the OC Register kind of tweeted out at the time of the moves, like, well, you have all your high leverage or all your good relievers rested at this point. So it's a good move. And I'm like, trick question or trick answer. They don't have any good relievers. So it doesn't really matter at that point. So, very frustrating to see. Very, like, another winnable game, I think, for the Angels. And then again, they end up dropping this game 8-4, get swept by the A's. For all the momentum and confidence coming into the series, it seemed like it just went right out the door. So, yeah. I mean, I guess bring on Detroit Tigers. That's the good part about that. It's like, you know, at least the Detroit Tigers are coming into Angel Stadium starting tomorrow. And again, another team that isn't as bad as Arizona, but I think they're probably comparable to Kansas City, where they have some good players on there. They have some guys.
Yeah, I know, we kind of downplay the, you know, Diamondbacks, Royals, but the Royals got us that first time around when they were hot.
Yeah.
And we were actually pretty hot going into that series. And I feel like that's kind of where we tailspinned into, you know, the last few months. And that happened at the hands of the Royals. And then like the old adage goes, you got to win those games, right?
Yeah.
You got to beat the bad teams. You got to beat the bad teams if you want to, you know, beat the good team. And a lot of times we don't beat the bad team.
Right. And that's the funny part.
Like the Rangers will come in.
Well, you mentioned it.
Rangers will sweep us in.
Well, you mentioned it too.
Arlington.
You know, New York isn't great right now, but traditionally New York is a competitive team. And then yet the Angels do great against them. And then, like you mentioned, the Mariners or, you know, Texas will come in and demolish the Angels. Like, what the? We just got done beating, you know, 3 out of 4 from New York, and then we get swept by Texas in a game, 3-game
series.
So
I think it was worth celebrating, even, you know, the sweeps were against those teams. It's still worthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially, you know, the Angels.
So, obviously, like you mentioned, the series coming up is – in Anaheim is against the Detroit Tigers. Thursday, you have Ohtani on the mound pitching, maybe hitting. It really will come down to Anthony Rendon and what his health is, because he did not go on the IL. So that means he is still taking up a roster spot, which means if he's not available to pitch hit, at least there's one less guy on the bench for, again, when Ohtani gets out, you don't get that DH back. So if Rendon's starting or at least well enough to pitch hit, then you can see Ohtani bat. But if not, you're going to see someone else in there in the DH spot, and Ohtani is just going to pitch. So that's something to kind of look out for early in the morning or afternoon to see what the lineup is going to be. But Ohtani pitches on Thursday. Cobb pitches Friday. Saturday, Sandoval gets the mound, and we will actually be in attendance Saturday night.
Yeah, my first game in almost 2 years.
What, 19, right? 2019.
Yeah, but it was the game, the first home game after the death.
Right, the no-hitter. The no-hitter, yeah.
And then I never went the rest of the season.
And then 2020 happened. And you're probably thinking, like, we'll go next season. It's cool. Don't worry about it. And then 2020 happens, and just kept going. Nothing.
I'm moving back.
So we will be at Angel Stadium Saturday night with Sandoval on the mound. Again, follow us on all our social media feeds, Halo_Haven. I know Chris is trying to work on some stuff. We'll see if we get that stuff done by then. But again, love to kind of meet you guys. Maybe we'll do like a small secret tailgate. I don't want to say it too loud because I don't want Angel Stadium to know.
Vaccinated only.
Vaccinated, Joe. It's vaccinated. Chris is going to be like the bouncer and check your card. But no, so follow us on Twitter and on Instagram, Halo_Haven. We'll post when we're there, when we're on the way there, where we're at. And it'd be cool to kind of to meet some of you guys now that the stadium will be 100% open. Are you kind of worried about that at all?
Not at all.
Not at all? Yeah. Well, you went to a reopening day yourself.
Yeah, I went to the 66ers reopening day.
Right.
Which yesterday. I haven't been there for a while, and that's kind of our home field. And so that was cool. It was hot.
So hot.
Man.
So hot.
And then the lights wouldn't come on.
That's funny when you touched me that.
Flex alert going on and rolling blackouts. But then I
don't even know who we are.
I talked to the general manager. He said that they had a guy working on some electrical stuff, and he flipped some panels, some switch, and
he got electrocuted. Yeah, you see smoke coming off his hair.
But yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see baseball back, just be back in the routine and see some of the guys down on the farm.
Yeah. Jackson, Paris. Well, you said Jackson didn't play.
Paris wasn't playing.
Deshaun Knowles, outfielder.
Yeah,
he just came up like probably like 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, follow him on social media. He seems to be really interactive with fans on social media. He seems like a cool dude. Seems like a cool guy. So that Saturday will be at Angel Stadium, full capacity. And then Sunday, Father's Day, Bundy versus Casey Mize. And if you remember that name, it's like their
first round, number one. He pitched yesterday.
Yeah.
Looked pretty good. I think his overall is like 3-3. Did you see where they came out and took his glove?
Oh, yeah. That's something interesting. So I guess he had a darker glove.
Like a gray glove.
Gray glove.
They had the gray aways.
Right.
Nobody made a complaint about it. The umpire on his own accord went up there and said, hey, I'm going to take the glove off. You need to switch it out. So he got his teammate's glove, had his name on it and all that. But he
had a lighter tan.
Yeah, but yeah,
lighter tan.
Mize is pretty, he's upset afterwards. If you saw,
dude, he was pissed. Yeah.
He's all because people are going to assume that I'm using
the sticky stuff.
The sticky stuff.
The sticky icky.
The spider.
Spider. Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Yeah. And this time we're not talking about Torii Hunter. But yeah, so that's actually going to be really interesting to see if Bundy can buck up, if you will, to the younger up and coming Casey Mize. But that's going to be on Father's Day. So, happy Father's Day to all you guys out there. Our next podcast will probably be on that Monday after Father's Day because it is an off day, which is a weird off day, a Monday. But that will be our probably next podcast because there's no point in doing it Sunday night if, you know, they're going to be off the next day. So we'll do one Monday night. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, another episode of the Curators Chronicles.
This is Chris Rodriguez with the Los Angeles Angels, and you're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
Let's go!
It was a hot day. In the Bay, it was probably a little cooler.
It's a hot day for a ball game.
And I was like, it's a kind of okay day.
Right, yeah.
It's always a good day for a ball game, but it was a hot one. So we're back with another edition of the Curators Chronicles. If you tuned in the last time I was on the podcast, it's been a few weeks. I had a hard hat from the stadium.
From the rebuild.
For the rebuild.
Remodel.
From the Edison renovation. That was, it was called the Big Ed.
Big Ed.
Yeah, the Big Ed went to the Big Ed, but it was done by Disney.
The big.
96 stadium reopened in 97, and it still was a construction zone. So a lot of the execs would roll around those hard hats. But again, we talk about the stadium that we all love, that we grew up around. Maybe you're just getting involved in Angels baseball and you're kind of only know the new stadium. But today I present you, if you're watching online, I will show you my Danbury Mint model of Anaheim Stadium, the way it used to look. So if you're seeing that right now.
Yeah, the closed Rams version of it.
So Angel Stadium obviously opened up in 1966. It was open in the outfield. So the Big A, kids, was actually located in left field, and it was painted white. It was huge. It was something kind of spectacular.
I
returned to that. So I found this old photo actually at the swap meet that I'm showing you, but it actually shows the Big A still in left field. But with the expansion or with the Rams wanting to move to Anaheim, they closed up the stadium like many stadiums did during that era.
Hashtag 80s.
Hashtag
70s and 80s.
Yeah. So they had that big, you know, multi-use stadium, football, baseball, which has completely been moved away from now with the Raiders leaving.
But they had the stadium in Oakland. It's kind of perfect that Oakland was the team that they got done playing. It still looks like the same, like, when the Rams left, Angels totally remodeled. When these other teams left, like the Duel, they either remodeled or got new stadiums, where Oakland is just
they stayed.
They don't know.
Of course, man. And so with that stadium in 1980, and so this is the stadium I remember from when I was a kid for the most part, but being all the way around so you could walk up some of the seats that you see in the top, obviously you're no longer there. But one of my fondest memories was they did a – did we talk about this? Where they did a turn back the clock night for the 35th anniversary.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
It was my birthday party. It was my 13th birthday. And so hot dogs were 10 cents, drinks were 10 cents. So people were just basically throwing food all at each other. It was like this humongous food fight. But it's way up here where it doesn't exist. It's like where that screen is now. That
oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Left.
So that's the stadium I remember. And then there's actually a piece – of this A that fell off, but just like the Northridge earthquake in 1994, this big A piece came falling off and plummeting to the ground, tons of concrete. But that little A piece is actually part of the entrance over off State College.
Oh, is that the A?
That's the A. I've heard. So that's kind of cool. They kind of kept that tradition there. That was the stadium growing up, but this was made by Danbury Mint. If you're familiar with Danbury Mint, they make all those little collectible things that you pay like four monthly payments and one hard payment of $20 a month for like 5 years to get some collector like plates. But they also made a new edition of this that looks like the current stadium, which is very, very hard to come by. But I always remember the saying, you still see, you know, pieces of it when you walk down the back sides, that's still the same. So it's kind of a, you know, a little bit different, and it was a multi-use. So you see a lot of Ram stuff. You see all these kind of like cheesy murals on the wall. And so if you were around during that era, you know exactly what it looked like. If you go onto our YouTube channel, there is some home video footage that was taken by John's dad with the big RCA VHS on his shoulder. I can't believe they let him bring it into the game. And also,
that's a weapon now.
He had the commitment to bring it.
Hold it.
Yeah. So it was cool. So I was going through some footage this week too. It's like Jimmy Reese and, you know, young Tim Salmon, a Gary Gaetti, all walking around for picture day. So, and there's also cool views of the press box, which is no longer there. It was like KMPC and stuff like that. So yeah, check that out. Be on the lookout, this Danbury Mint model, and just kind of a nice little, and then we talked a lot about, you know, a possible new stadium. So what is that going to look like? Are they just going to renovate the existing stadium one more time? But who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, only time will tell. And then I'm sure you'll find a mint. So let's just say they do build a new stadium. You'll find a mint like the current stadium at some point, and I'm sure that'll be a little.
You know what the talk about full capacity? Do you know what full capacity was?
Good question. I'm guessing somewhere around 55 to 60,000.
It's about 69,000.
69, nice.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Yeah, almost 70,000 people at the Big A.
Wow, that must have been loud if they ever sold it out.
Yeah, we didn't sell it.
Yeah, I was like, if they ever sold it out. So obviously, maybe this opening day tomorrow, reopening day, it'll be sold out. We'll see how that goes. So that's been another edition of the Curators Chronicles.
Let's go!
Like I mentioned earlier, I was able to talk to both Reed Detmers, the number two Angels prospect by MLB Pipeline, kind of about the 2020 season, about this year, about, you know, there's a bunch of stuff. And also MLB.com writer Rhett Bollinger about the season so far. Last time we talked to him was during spring training before the season started. Those full episodes are on our YouTube page. They're up now, available to watch. This is going to be kind of a little preview of both for you guys. So if you like what you hear, hell, if you don't like what you hear, go watch the full.
It's like a little appetizer sampler.
Yeah, product. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, those are the best, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like at the
Sizzler. You don't want to fully commit to a menu item. And like
the Sizzler.
Oh, but I want them all.
Yeah, like the Sizzler. Exactly.
Oh, Sizzler. So, they're going out, man.
All right. So here's our interview.
My next guest on the All Angels podcast is one of the young arms in the Angels organization. That's Reed Detmers, the first round 10th overall pick in 2020. Reed, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. So like I mentioned, first round pick, 10th overall in 2020. 2020 in general was just kind of crazy for a lot of people. How was the lead up to the draft? It being such a uncertain time, and you know, obviously the season didn't finish in college and the draft was in question for a while.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty weird. Once the season ended, it was just me and my roommate. We pretty much just stayed on campus at our house and did our best to work out. We didn't have any facilities or anything. We just kind of went in the courtyard, did a couple things, played catch every day, threw bullpens a couple times a week, and then like heading up to the draft was pretty hectic. Just talking to teams every day, sometimes a couple of teams a day. But once they got closer, they started narrowing down their picks, so it got a little bit less hectic, I guess. And then, yeah, the day came, and I was an Angel.
So how did you feel leading up to it? Did you have a feeling you were going to go in the top 10? Did you have a feeling you were going to go early, or what was your overall kind of thought around it?
I thought I was going to go in the top 10. But once the day came, I had no clue where I was going to go. It got very hectic. A lot of teams were backing out. My agent called and they're like, hey, we don't know where you're going to go. Like, everybody's backing out. It's getting pretty crazy. I was like, all right, that's fine. Just let me know when a team calls. And so the Angels called, and yeah, it was a dream come true.
How was it being at Louisville, your college, surrounded by family and friends during that process? Do you remember the emotions that were coming through you at the time when you did finally hear your name called?
Slightly. I kind of blacked out during the moment, but it was special, man. Just being able to experience that with all my teammates and my family, that was a pretty cool moment.
Obviously Angels fans know the pitching has been a struggle in the years past, and when fans talk about making moves and bringing guys in, the two names through, you know, Angels Twitter, it just kind of the fan part of it is you cannot trade Chris Rodriguez and you cannot trade Reed Detmers, no matter who the return is. And when you hear something like that, where the fans want to see you in the Angel uniform, how does that make you feel?
I mean, good. knowing that the team you're playing for, they want the fan base wants to keep you. That feels pretty good. But yeah, I mean, I'm just excited, man. Just ready to go out there, compete. Whenever the chance comes, I don't know when it will be. It could be whenever. Who knows? But yeah, it's fun. And yeah, just looking forward to play out there in front of the great fans we have.
Your first start was May 5th. And like you mentioned before, like it was kind of like a season long of practices out in Long Beach. So when May 5th happened, it was your first professional start. Was there nerves or what was going through your head when you're on your way to the mound on that game?
I wouldn't say there was nerves. I was very anxious, not being able to pitch in an actual game in over a year. I mean, I was just very anxious, went out there, and I thought my stuff was good. I just found things off, and yeah, I just got my pitch count way up really quick, and obviously it wasn't the debut that I wanted, but I learned from it, and kind of went out the next outing and kind of did what I wanted to do.
So obviously, the Trash Pandas, the very first season of them, have a brand new field, Toyota Field. I've only seen it in photos, but it looks absolutely awesome. So when you walk onto the field, you see it. You know, you guys have like media day and all that stuff kind of leading up to the first game. What are your thoughts about that brand new stadium?
Yeah, it's sick. I didn't really know what to expect when I got here. But as soon as I pulled up to the stadium, the first day we were here, I was like, wow, this place is legit. And walking down to the locker clubhouse, seeing the locker room and our weight room and stuff like that, like, this is probably one of the best stadiums in the league. And yeah, it's just nice having a nice facility at your home ballpark. You're going to a nice facility, like, you're just comfortable. And then going out into the field, seeing the 5,000 to 8,000 fans we get every game, that's pretty cool. They're loud. They're into it the whole game. There's never a quiet moment. And yeah, they take things very serious here.
So obviously what we do too on the podcast, when we have guys on for the first time, we'd like to get you to know you a little better off the field, because obviously every time we see you with the ball in your hands pitching on the mound. So first thing I want to ask you, strikeout looking or strikeout swinging?
Looking.
Do you have a preferred pitch?
No, not really. I mean, seeing them strikeout looking on the backdoor curveball is pretty cool. Or a fastball inside or something like that.
So you spent time, obviously, in Long Beach last year with Long Beach State. What are your thoughts about In-N-Out?
In-N-Out. Oh, man. I've only had it like three times. I will say it's better than McDonald's.
That's good.
I mean, it's good. It's just like it's fast food. I don't know if there's any like fast food you can be like, wow, that's really good. But yeah, I would say it's better than McDonald's and like most places.
And I want to welcome back our next guest, MLB.com beat writer, Rhett Bollinger. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you back on. I'm glad you're one of the left Angel beat reporters that didn't leave. So that's always good to have you on. And you kind of mentioned it a little bit too, Ohtani. Pitching and hitting a lot more this year than I think we've seen him at all in the past, especially with like not really getting the day off before and after. He's done great. I think he's a front runner, obviously, for AL MVP. Was this kind of expected, this kind of start to a season as far as hitting everything out, striking everybody out? Was this kind of expected?
I think there was a hope that he could do this, but I don't think anybody really thought he was going to play this much. We kept hearing, you know, during the winter meetings and during talks with Joe and even during spring training that they were going to no restrictions on Ohtani and all that. But to a lot of us, it still meant, okay, no restrictions, but it still means he's probably going to be out of the lineup the day before it starts or maybe after it, maybe the day of, and he'll get, you know, a decent amount of rest as a hitter. And But so far, as you know, he's been pretty much playing every single game outside of those NL rules where he didn't play the outfield because it made sense. It would have been probably too much on him. So, yeah, I think that it's been pretty incredible what he's been able to do. Like you said, I think right now, along with, you know, Toronto's Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they're kind of the two frontrunners right now for AL MVP. And Otani seems like every time he, you know, he's, every start he's setting some new milestone and some new record that only like Babe Ruth or somebody had ever set before. So it really is amazing. And it's good for baseball. You know, I think that everyone thought this could happen because of what happened in 2018 when he was a rookie. He really was this good too. But since the injuries and all that, you know, kind of last year was pretty forgettable. There was some concern, like, is he going to be able to do this? And sure enough, you know, he's basically erased all doubts and has really been probably the biggest storyline in baseball this year. I think, like we talked about earlier, the starting pitching has been a lot better. Even the bullpen's been better because of that, because it had fewer innings to have to cover. And then we've seen some other guys step up. You know, we've seen Max Stassi become, you know, one of the better hitting catchers in baseball, which has been really impressive. And, you know, Jared Walsh had a little bit of a slump there, but still, you know, one of the better first basemen in baseball so far this season. Otani's obviously carried that load. And we've seen guys step up like Taylor Ward has played pretty well in right field. Lagares has come through a few times out in center. And the big one too is Justin Upton. I don't know how Joe realized to put him in, you know, leadoff spot. It would actually work. I remember thinking that it was totally crazy when he did it because, you know, Upton was, outside of some power, wasn't really having a very good year, wasn't really getting on base. And all of a sudden now, moving to leadoff spot, and he's, you know, become one of their best players and is hitting home runs and drawing walks and looks like the Justin Upton of old. So that's been a big thing. I think Upton getting on base and setting that tone atop the lineup has been huge. They've been scoring runs early in games, kind of like Matt likes to say, kind of punching them in the mouth and then kind of having that first punch there and kind of going from there. And it's been a good strategy. I mean, it was tough going into Oakland in that first game. You know, Bundy just didn't have it and truthfully just hasn't really had it in most of his starts this year. So that's been an issue. But we've seen Patrick Sandoval step up too. And we'll see what happens when Quintana's healthy.
What do you think it's been, you know, for Bundy, you know, having a great 2020 and kind of pretty much high, really high hopes fan-wise, you know, anticipation of him this year kind of being that frontline starter and just have not been able to put a really a good start together. Is it something, you know, that is just maybe it's catching up to him because it was such a short season last year? Or is there some kind of fundamentals wrong with him?
Yeah, I think last season he just was much better at locating the ball. I think that he was hitting the edges more, and that slider was such a good pitch. He got a lot of strikeouts, so that pitch was kind of his out pitch. He was able to get ahead of hitters and locate in areas that, you know, hitters weren't driving the ball. I think he only gave up 5 home runs all of last season. This year, and just one more start, he's given up, I think, 14 home runs, I think, in 12 starts this year. So I think he's just given up a lot more big hits. And he talked about it after the game, saying he's leaving way too many pitches over the middle. He's been working to try to, you know, remedy that. He's had a lot of bullpen sessions trying to, you know, polish his command, get better control, get kind of back to what he was last year. And then, you know, even on Monday, his velocity was down, his spin rates were down. Just didn't really look like the same guy he was last year and was hit hard as a result. And we've seen it happen, you know, a lot, you know, ever since the start of May. I think his ERA is above 9. So, I mean, he's given up more than a run per inning since May. So in April, I think he had like a 4.2 or 4.5 ERA and was looked kind of like that same Bundy. And even early in the year looked pretty good. And truthfully, the A's are a team that he usually dominates. And so to see him kind of get hit around like that was not a good sign. And like I said earlier, he's got to get it going because if not, maybe they put Quintana in the spot and keep Sandoval in the rotation. Still a little too early to say that because Quintana hasn't started his rehab assignment or anything yet. But if Bundy turns in a couple more rough ones, it's how much longer you can continue to go with a guy that's has an ERA above 9 over his last, you know, 7 starts or so.
And something that I've seen on my Twitter, and I'm sure you've probably seen on your Twitter and social media, is another young pitcher that people are hoping to be in the starting rotation at some point this year. And that's Chris Rodriguez coming in. Doing great. Just coming back off of injury, though, is there a plan for him to start at some point this year, or is Joe and Perrien kind of holding off on that and just let him kind of get innings right now as a reliever?
Yeah, I think right now, this season especially, it's just going to be him being a reliever. Just because, you know, he had the injury history in the past, had only thrown, what, like 9 1/3 professional innings since like 2017. So just not enough innings for him to go be a starter and build up this year. So I think right now they'll be smart about him and use him as kind of like that long relief or that multi-inning reliever for, but in big spots, obviously coming in close games for two innings, maybe potentially even three. He's done that too. But I think right now to monitor his innings going forward, he's only going to be a reliever this year, but his stuff though profiles as a starter. So I think next year there's a very good chance he'll come into camp competing for a spot as a starter, because we do know too, this rotation needs to be completely remade. You know, you look at all the guys who are going to be free agents. You know, Heaney's going to be a free agent, and Bundy's going to be a free agent. Quintana's going to be a free agent. Cobb's going to be a free agent. So you got to replace some of these guys, and obviously they can do it via trades or free agent signings, but they're also going to need some guys to step into that rotation, and he could be one of those guys. And I said Suarez could be one of those guys. Maybe Sandoval could be one of those guys too, and at some point too, Reed Detmer. So that there is some of that depth, but clearly they're going to need to get some help this offseason, pitching-wise, like always, but I do think that Rodriguez is a guy that can maybe count on in the future. It's just all about him staying healthy.
And you mentioned all those guys that are up at the end of the year. I think it's safe to say, unless Quintana has like some kind of crazy second half of the season, he's probably not coming back. But as far as like Bundy, Cobb, and like Heaney especially, has there been any kind of conversations about an extension? Have the Angels kind of talked about maybe leaning towards one guy or another, or just kind of letting them all go play the market?
I think right now kind of let them go to the market a little bit more. They haven't had any real extension talks that I'm aware of with any of those guys. You're right, it is interesting. Like Heaney's been around for so long.
Right.
You know, would they be inclined to bring him back just because he's been around and obviously I think enjoys being around the organization? You know, Cobb has, you know, a good tie to Joe Maddon, and then Cobb really has been pitching a lot better recently. Would he be amenable to want to stay in Anaheim as well? So Quintana, you never know. I mean, it's still kind of early with that one too. And Bundy was a guy that I think a lot of people wanted to extend before the season.
Last year.
You know, before this season, everyone thought, extend Bundy. At this point, clearly that's not going to happen. And he's really cost himself a lot of money in free agency. I mean, I think he's more likely to go out there maybe now, unless he really turns it around, and go out there and get like a one-year deal. It might be, maybe it would be with the Angels as one more year to try to take a chance on yourself, but it might be somewhere else, just a flyer, a 1 or 2 year deal, some team thinking they can kind of fix him. So as of right now, it's hard to know what they'll do with those guys. It's a little too early in the process, but they've got to make some big decisions after the season.
Max Stassi, like you mentioned before, has been on fire since coming back from his concussion. Is that a guy that if the Angels do find themselves out of the playoff situation, would they look to shop around, or is that catching position so hard to find a good catcher that can do both, you know, offensive and defensively, that they're going to hold on to him, even though that might be the biggest, you know, something they can get back for?
Yeah, I think at this point you have to keep Stassi because, like you said, it's so hard to find good catching these days. It's funny, the best catchers in baseball are like all the old guys right now. It's like, you know, Buster Posey's having a great year, Yadier Molina, you know, some of these older guys. Salvador Perez is having a great year with the Royals. It's kind of funny that all of a sudden all the veterans are having the good years, because otherwise it's hard to find a good hitting catcher these days. And Stassi's proven that, you know, going back to last season. You know, he had a breakout year in 2020. It was a shortened season. You weren't really sure if it was for real. But this year so far, he's proving it wasn't really a fluke. And he's still having for a few more years of control. It's like he's going to be a free agent this year. So to me, I think he's a guy you want to build around going forward. And I wouldn't, he said he would probably bring back a haul, which is pretty impressive considering at the time, you know, they got him for just two, I think, Dominican prospects from the
super minor
Astros.
Yeah.
And no one I'd never heard of, to be honest. And I think, you know, Stassi that year was truthfully not hitting at all. So it's pretty amazing the way he's turning around his career and his value. But I think his value right now is too big for the Angels to trade.
And you kind of mentioned the right field, and it's kind of been a revolving door once Fowler went down early. Like, I think it was like the second series or third series of the year, really early. You know, you have Wong, you have, you know, Taylor Ward out there. You had Rojas out there for a bit. I mean, it just seems like a constant rotation of people out there. But one name that a lot of fans are kind of clamoring for right now, especially with his numbers you see out in AAA, and that's Joe Adell. I believe to this point he still leads the AAA level with home runs. Has there been talk about bringing Joe up, maybe speeding up that process because he is on fire offensively in AAA?
There's definitely, you know, talk about him pretty much daily, I think, among the front office about when he's going to be ready. But they're trying to be a little bit cautious with him. They just know that with the way last year went, they don't want to have a repeat of that. The strikeouts are still up at AAA, which is a little bit of an issue. The defense is still can be a little bit spotty out there too. So they want to make sure that's all kind of cleaned up before he's brought up. It's like Perry said, that they want him to come up this time and stay up forever instead of be a guy who's kind of up and down, trying to find his way. So I think they're trying to try to get him, you know, a little bit more ready. But I do think pretty soon now, he's got to come up just because of the way he's producing, especially with the power.
Follow him on Twitter if you do not already. That's at Rhett Bollinger on Twitter. Set up your alerts. You know, when something comes out, be the first to hear about it on your phone or tablet or whatever you want to do. So definitely check it out. Again, that's at Rhett Bollinger on Twitter. And then obviously you can read his stories on MLB.com just under the Angels page. It's really easy to find. So Rhett, thanks again. From up in Oakland in your hotel room, really appreciate it, and hope to do this again around All-Star break.
Yeah, let me know. I'm always down to do this. Always fun.
So again, I want to thank Rhett Bollinger and Reed Detmers for jumping on the podcast. It was weird. We're watching it as you guys were watching it, and it was kind of like shaky, and we're wondering why. But I can guarantee you, it's not like that on the YouTube page. So if you want to see the full interview of Reed Detmers and Rhett Bollinger, definitely go to our YouTube page, All Angels Podcast, and check it out there. Again, a lot of good information that we didn't even get to with Rhett Bollinger on there. Check it out. And then obviously same thing with Reed Detmers. Find out who he learned his slider from, or with, I should say, throwing the ball around. And then these two guys are kind of messing around a little bit. And all of a sudden, oh, look, my slider, who what's been working great for him is you know, been a tool. And it's kind of interesting to see who he learned it from or with. So that's also something cool to watch.
So you think he's being called up this year?
No, I think not to the majors. Salt Lake, I honestly think maybe give him another month and a half, he's going to be in Salt Lake.
Okay.
But I think he finishes the season there. Okay. I don't think unless...
What if we're in the hunt?
No, unless there's a 3 or 4 injuries here or there, and then maybe. But he has to go to the 40-man roster before any of that happens. Yeah. So, but no, again, and I didn't even talk about it with Rhett on the interview about the young guns and all that stuff. So that's something else. But again, I want to thank these guys for just jumping on, and it was really cool to have them on. And obviously it's always fun to catch up with Rhett. He's been on, I don't know how many times now. So
Man. Always good to have him. Always our go-to.
Always information. On. Always he information.
Talks baseball all day. And then Dude. He goes back to the hotel room and then gets on a podcast,
right? Or at this point talks a bunch about a podcast and then goes to the game. Podcast, so
yeah, this guy is...
so no, it's fun to have him here. Hopefully All-Star break we'll meet up with him again and kind of review the season and kind of preview the season too. So just like at any point, you can always email us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. so we'll put out when we are talking to certain people, mostly if I feel comfortable that they're going to show up. You know, like Rhett, I'm always so comfortable he's gonna show up. So I'll put like, hey, if you have questions. Players, what I've learned, not Reed. Reed, honestly, so I set up for a certain time. And so I'm thinking, okay, players or people like in the media have always been like a couple minutes late or right on time. I sign in like 7 minutes early just to get everything set up.
He's there.
He's waiting.
Damn.
I'm all like, oh my God, I'm sorry. You're not waiting long, are you? He's like, no, I just signed on. I'm like, okay, thank you. But yeah, he beat me on to the StreamYard to record the interview. So that was rare, but for the most part, with athletes, because you're just busy and it's the middle of the season,
moving, locker room,
right? Field, so I'm always like hesitant to like, hey, we're having this guy on. I don't want to be the guy that doesn't pay out, like doesn't show up, kind of deals. Yeah. But with Rhett, and you mentioned it, he's always, if he says he's going to be on, he will be on. So we'll put out obviously when we do talk to him during the All-Star break, and you can ask questions or whatever. And in the interview, because I did put a question out there for on Instagram, I did ask him some of your guys' questions too. So definitely check it out. Again, All Angels Podcast YouTube page. Subscribe there. Subscribe to this podcast. Some of you might be actually watching on YouTube right now. So just hit the subscribe button, hit the alert button, and it will tell you when something new posts. And usually that's going to be the first place it posts is on YouTube. So definitely check it out. So before we go, the last thing, and you're going to hear us talk about it at least a little bit more until it actually happens. And that is obviously the Bearded Villains of the Inland Empire chapter. The chapter that Johnny Mags was a part of is having a fundraiser at Beer and Stave. I think I'm saying
Barrel and
Stave. Barrel and Stave. Come on. I've been drinking too much. Barrel and Stave Poorhouse out in the city of Fullerton. Again, that's 250 West Santa Fe Avenue, Unit 20, Fullerton, California. Come out. We are going to be there. We're going to have some giveaways. 10% of everything sold between the hours of 11 and 4 p.m.
is going to go to the Tyler Skaggs Foundation in the name of Johnny Mag. So again, a great opportunity to just kind of hang out, chill. And then obviously too, if you've been listening to the podcast, been watching the podcast for a little while, it'd be really cool to meet some people there. And it's kind of funny too, because you think about it, Johnny always got a kick out of meeting people that like, oh, you guys do the podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of cool that this will, you know, again, if you listen to the podcast or even follow us on our social media stuff, to come up and say hi or whatever, because Johnny would have, he would have felt.
Yeah, we like it when you say hi.
He felt like he was the top of the world every single time.
He always wanted to be a journalist or going to journalism or some capacity, you know, end up starting a couple podcasts.
Right.
But yeah, he thought he's big time.
Big time. That's what he got his nickname, Big Time.
Yeah, he thought it was the biggest thing ever. And he's like, Oh, yeah.
Do you see what they did? Celebrity. Exactly.
Yeah, but come out. We're going to have some raffles. Of course, definitely. We're going to bring some Angel stuff that you could get in on. And that will all go to the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. Daniel's been working hard to secure some items from some of our sponsors. I think we have a pair of sunglasses from K-Non, which are expensive but quality sunglasses.
Right.
It's definitely worth the money, handcrafted in Italy. Nice Designed stuff, man. I'm wearing them every day.
I am too. Like, I'm wearing like, my car right now on the way here.
I'm like rolling HD vision everywhere I go.
I wore them to play golf last weekend. I my eyes felt better. Didn't help me at all play golf. But my eyes felt a lot better after the round. I don't know
how to help you. But.
Yeah, exactly. But my eyes felt better. So that's important. But yeah, we got that. We got, I mentioned, a signed ball by Brandon Marsh.
Wow.
We got a season ticket holder that we know donate a night of his tickets. Again, 4 tickets plus parking in the 300 section. I mean, it is prime real estate for a foul ball. Like, I have only gotten one foul ball.
And it was there? You got a foul ball?
I only got one foul ball in my whole life. At baseball games, that wasn't like Inland Empire where you can like run and grab it, where it literally landed. Like,
I've never got one at Angel Stadium.
I got one at Angel Stadium in his seats.
Nice.
Like, literally, it was.
So you're guaranteeing a foul ball then?
I'm not guaranteeing you a foul ball, but I'm guaranteeing you one will be like a section or 2 sections over from you. Maybe it will be in your section, but it was me and my wife. And this is a perfect example because we're actually in the seats right now of, the old Angel Stadium. But what happened with us was that the ball ended up landing. Boom, right here in the middle of the seat, and end up getting stuck because there was no one in the middle.
Out of the way and like let the ball almost hit her.
No, actually, what happened was it was me and my wife, and then I kind of pulled her this way towards me, and then it hit in the seat next to her, and then I reached over her and grabbed it without, and I pushed her out of the way, and like that's it. But yeah, so those seats are great. So we'll definitely have those tickets there for raffle again. It's going to be something simple. It's going to be a ticket raffle. Buy tickets, put your name,
put it in the hopper.
There you
and
go.
We'll go like that.
Or hopper, or even, you know, maybe we'll have mason jars and we'll just pick one out. You know, we're still figuring that stuff out. We still got just a little bit over a week. This is going to be Saturday, July 16th. Again, in
June.
Jesus
June
26th. Right. I got to stop drinking.
Cut them off. I've been drinking water the whole time, folks.
This is why.
You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be Saturday, June 26th in Fullerton, Barrel and Stave.
There you go.
Poorhouse, 250 West Santa Fe Avenue, Unit 20, Fullerton, California. 10% of the proceeds will be donated to the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. And hey, if we're there, you want to buy us a beer? We'd appreciate it. We're bringing my wife so she could drive us home.
Never passed up a free beer.
Never, ever.
Put that on.
Yeah. Never, ever passed up a free beer at all. But again, that's our biggest thing. Obviously, we'll be talking about it more and more as we get closer. Again, it's a week from Saturday. Love to see you guys out there. Love to see some of the fans out there. So definitely check it out. But that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the All Angels Podcast. Again, we will be back Monday to review the Detroit series. Full capacity at Angel Stadium. We will be out there Saturday. Hopefully get a little bit of tailgating. Don't tell Angel Stadium or Angel officials. I don't want to get in trouble.
You're not allowed to do that anymore?
I honestly don't know. But
come on. You don't think that people are tailgating out there?
Well, tailgating, yes. Tailgating how we tailgate?
Yeah.
No. So we're going to be on a little low key. So we might not have like the flags and the easy up and all that stuff. But we will try park as close to the Big A as possible, and then you know we'll let you know where we're at.
We hope to have some giveaways, so look out on all our social media. We'll probably do a little sneak peek preview while supplies last.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing. Supply that's free. So we don't make a ton of them. Yeah. Make few, but obviously we love seeing the fans.
Get you some button swag going on.
Boom. So. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the All Angels Podcast. I am Dan Garcia.
I'm the curator.
And we will see you Monday after the Tiger Series. Have a good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.